are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We are at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at KFARradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I am your host, David Prus. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. But before I get into the show with my guests, Joni Skillbred and Mike Prox, this is the first show of the year live in the studios here, eight studios. I'm the only one here in a purple padded room with Mike. No one else is in the building.
Yeah.
And they sort of shawashed us on, what, Wednesday.
Yeah.
Isn't that right, Joni?
Yeah, everyone has this square time.
Yeah. And so here we are on a Friday. We're the only live activity in 2026. Over 8 to 10 radio stations where Perry Wally is a general manager, and he's making us do this.
Forcing
I'm mad as heck, and I'm still going to take it. But, you know, me and Mike are in this room, and we got the door open. I mean, there's no one here. You know, I walked up and said, there's no one here. It's just us. How you doing, Joni?
I'm doing very well. I haven't froze to death yet, and I'm glad that I could do this from my house today rather than having to make that drive to town in this cold.
You know, I apologize profusely to Mike Prox here, Representative Prox, because he drove in from North Pole.
Yes, he did.
To be here on Wednesday for the show, and you were calling in. You're the smartest person not in the room.
I lucked out.
Yeah. And so this morning I texted you, hey, we're doing this show, and I'll call you again. So anyway.
My truck thanks you.
Yes. So Joni, what's our story on today?
Well, our topic today is the history of Pioneer Park.
And there's a lot here that most, if not all, people do not know about, and they should know about.
Yep.
Looks like the borough is looking at a name change again.
Yes, and so I thought that maybe it might be kind of interesting to do a show on the history of the park, how it was formed, when it was formed, why there were name changes done and all of that, so that people can understand as this issue comes up before the assembly, you know, that hopefully have better information to form their opinions on.
There you go. You know what I think I'm going to do? I'm going to make a copy of all this and bring it down and give it to the assembly members and the mayor and say, you should know this before you act upon anything.
Yeah, and also I do have, as usual, you know, a couple things that I didn't send to you in advance that are very interesting that I think that everyone will be very interested in knowing as well.
There you go. Probably costs involved.
Where the word Alaska Land comes from.
Where did Alaska Land come from?
The term Alaska Land first shows up in 1915, and it was a book of verse that was written by Mrs. Isabel Ambler Gilman, and it was on sale in Juneau bookstores. And it was Alaska poems, and so, you know, and back in you know, the early days of Alaska, people were very interested in poetry. Poetry was a regular part of a person's life where today not so much.
Thank God.
she had this book of poetry, so I'm sure that there were people in Fairbanks that had copies of that book, and they were probably old and dusty sitting around, but there were still people, you know, in the mid-60s who, you know, probably liked that book and remembered the name and liked it. Also, Alaska Land then shows up again.
Oh, hold on a second. We got someone else here. He's shutting the door. Oh, my God. We're not alone. We have, in case there's shots fired, it's at Mike, not me.
So then Alaska Land is picked up as a term that the House of Representatives in Washington, D.C., it was a bill that was named Alaska Land. And it was the bill that it was in 1940, and it was permitting the sale or lease of public lands in certain sections of the Matanuska Valley.
Ah, okay.
So it goes from being the name of a poetry book, and then it gets adopted for this bill. That no doubt the source of the bill was from Alaska lobbyists and representatives. And then it shows up again in 1953, and the term Alaska Land was given by the Agricultural and Experimental Station, I believe here at UAF, for a variety of red clover that they had developed that was healthy enough to survive our winters. And they named that variety Alaska Land, and that was in 1953.
Well, let's go into the creation of the park. Well, let's call it the park. Let's start there.
Yeah. Well, the origins of it go all the way back to 1955 and the Golden Days. Golden Days Committee. It was one of the first, it might have been the very first Golden Days celebration, but they had this big planning committee.
Yeah, the Golden Days Celebration Committee.
Yes. And so they were planning the celebration, and they were really wanting to make a very big deal. They invited President Dwight D. Eisenhower, who the Chamber of Commerce invited him, and he declined the invitation.
Oh. Bobby Sheldon comes into the picture there, too.
Yes, but
from the pioneers of Alaska, Fairbanks Igloo Number 4.
Right, and what happened? He was part of this committee, and they were at the same time that this was going on. They were doing urban renewal projects in Fairbanks, and they were destroying buildings right and left to build new buildings.
Yeah, the Cushman Street to Barnett Street,
right?
First Avenue to 8th Avenue.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the men of Pioneers of Alaska, Igloo Number 4, and for those that don't know, the Pioneers of Alaska, I should say this before I get into that, the Pioneers of Alaska formed in Nome in 1906, and their mission was to preserve the incidents and literature of Alaska history and to make Alaska a better place for all. And that mission still stands today. It's never been changed. You know, the pioneers are about, you know, preserving our history. So the men of Igloo Number 4 were looking around, and, you know, the history of Fairbanks is being erased right before their very eyes, and they were really concerned about this. And Bobby Sheldon was one of the members of Igloo Number 4. He went on to be a president of the Fairbanks Men's Igloo. And so they were watching this go on, and they said, you know, we need to, as part of Golden Days, we need to do something even more permanent to preserve our history. So they decided to put a log cabin downtown. Now, do you think that happened?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
It did.
I know. It happened where a hotel used to be.
Right.
And my dad owned that hotel when it burnt down, and he sold the property to the city of Fairbanks.
The Fairview.
Yep. On the river.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. But we have, so they didn't end up moving an old cabin, but they built a new cabin, and they made it a place for tourists to go.
Yep.
And that is the log cabin downtown.
Mm-hmm.
That came out of that 1955 meeting. But then they talked, you know, that, you know, we need to do more to preserve this stuff. And so that was the first seed that was planted, and that was in 55, it was 55, but then it got took a little bit further. There was articles in the paper about it, and a man by the name of Henry Mick wrote a letter to the editor, and he said that we need a park. And we need a park that...
Yeah, June 7th, 1955.
Yes, is a pioneer park. And he proposed doing it. He proposed getting the land from the FE company, getting it donated. It would have been over in the area of Aurora Subdivision.
Mm-hmm.
And that we could, you know, preserve our city's history in park form there.
Joni, we're going to take a quick break, okay? And Fairbanks, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. I have Joni Skilbert calling in from Two Rivers. And I have Representative Mike Prack sitting in the purple padded room with me as he drove in from North Pole. And obviously, Joni's the smartest person not in this room. We'll be back.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
This holiday season, something incredible happened in the Golden Heart community. Thanks to you, our amazing listeners, local businesses, and our generous sponsors, the Pump Up the Kids Adopt a Family program was a tremendous success. We came together to lift up struggling families, filling wish lists, easing burdens, and bringing a little extra magic to homes that needed it most. And to our sponsor, Samard Automotive. Thank you isn't big enough. Your kindness, your support, and your heart made this season brighter for so many of our neighbors. This holiday season, something incredible happened in the Golden Heart community. Thanks to you, our amazing listeners, local businesses, and our generous sponsors, the Pump Up the Kids Adopt a Family program was a tremendous success. We came together to lift up struggling families, filling wish lists, easing burdens, and bringing a little extra magic to homes that needed it most. And to our sponsor, Lotto Alaska. Thank you isn't big enough. Your kindness, your support, and your heart made this season brighter for so many of our neighbors.
There's a new radio show echoing across the last frontier, Alaska Tracks. Alaska Tracks celebrates the heritage, landscapes, and deeply rooted traditions of life in Alaska. Hosted by wildlife biologist and lifelong outdoorsman Randy Zarkey, Alaska Tracks brings you firsthand stories from hunters, bush pilots, trappers, scientists, artists, and elders who know the land, live the lifestyle, and keep Alaska's legacy alive. Based on an oral history project by the Alaska Trappers Association, each episode is a bridge between generations, between bush and city, between past and future. Alaska Tracks isn't just a show. It's a living archive, a celebration, and a call to stay connected to Alaska's roots. Proudly presented by KFAR Radio and supported by sponsors who celebrate Alaska's story. Rod Saw Shop, Ginger Oram with Crown Real Estate, Interior Welding Extreme North Trailers, and Frontier Outfitters. Alaska Tracks, Saturdays at 1:30 p.m., only on KFAR Radio.
KFAR Weather.
Mainly sunny skies this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 35 below. North winds around 5 miles per hour. Mainly clear skies again tonight. Lows dip down to about 48 below, 35 below tomorrow. Mainly cleared Sunday, with daytime highs approaching 35 below. 20 below, chance for snow Monday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. Did you enjoy that weather report, Joni?
No.
Do you think I like publishing that weather report on the show?
Well, I think, you know what, there's a silver lining to all of this. You know, these cold snaps weed out the weak.
They do.
You're such a carnivore. Yeah, yeah. It lets everyone remember what it's really like to live in Fairbanks, Alaska in December and January.
Yeah. Hey, when I was a kid growing up,
this was normal, yeah. You know, we'd have these cold snaps, and if it was 20 below or colder, they wouldn't let us out for recesses or lunches. And after about, you know, 2 to 3 or 4 weeks, you know, the teacher was going a little bit psycho. You know,
yeah.
they didn't have the patience with us third and fourth and fifth graders as they used to.
Yeah. I remember at Eielson when I grew up there, they would, we had to walk to school. So I had to walk almost a mile.
Mm-hmm.
And at 30 below, they would fire up the buses. And we could ride the bus if it was 30 below. But I remember that a bunch of the boys, it was a big deal at 30 below to try to hooky bob.
That was a big thing, yeah, hooky bobbing. Don't ask me how I know that. So back to Pioneer Park and how it started.
Yes. So the seeds for the park were kind of planted in the mid-1950s. And it really started to, you know, the pioneers were discussing it at their meetings and all of this, and it really starts to gain some headway in 1960 when there's a little article in the paper, and it's titled Pioneer Park. And this was April 26, 1960, and it said that Harry Hughes and Paul Grimen of Igloo No. 4 of Pioneers of Alaska asked the general support of the Chamber of Commerce at yesterday's board meeting for a pioneer park. The pioneers wish to manage and control it, install monuments, buildings, photos, tape recordings, and other records, old-time mining equipment, and pioneer objects. And at that time, they had identified two locations for consideration, and that was 30 acres below the city dump and 50 acres further out on federal land, which is where the park is today. And the matter was referred to the Chamber Committee to work with the pioneers on the project. So the city dump was closing, and they were burying all the trash.
Yeah, that's sort of Fairbanks. That's where the baseball fields are, and where the Carlson Center is right now. Oh, and a little bit where the Groudon Park is. You know,
yep.
you change a dump into recreational facilities.
Right, and the city owned that. Where the park is currently located, that was federal land. And there was a concern amongst the city, the pioneers, and the Yukon, Tanana Yukon Historical Society was also involved in this. And there was a concern because in the past the city had dedicated parkland and then all of a sudden sold it. And they didn't want that to happen. And so, and you know, I mean, putting it on the dump, that's not really a very good idea. So the pioneers eventually decided to focus the attention on that 72-acre parcel. Now, that parcel of land also crossed Airport Way and took in the area where the jail and the Pioneer Home are. It was
okay, yeah.
The park is 41 acres, I believe.
Yeah, so it's, yeah. So off crossing that area over there,
yes.
Okay.
And
Alaska Mental Health Trust lands.
Screaming foul, and the pioneers put in to the brand new state government and said, we would like to do this. They put in the proposal along with the Tanana Yukon Historical Society, and a lot of the members of both organizations. They were members, you know, a lot of the Tanana Yukon Historical Society members were also pioneers. So members of the Pioneers of Alaska. So anyway, they put in to get that parcel of land, and oh my gosh, a city council fought them tooth and nail and said, we don't want this, because Westgate Subdivision was on the other side of the park. And they said, well, that is going to interfere with us being able to
run sewer and water and utilities.
Expansion of the city.
Yeah.
To run utilities, which was ridiculous. But so the state, the newly formed state government, looked this over and said, well, we think this is a worthy project. And so they said, we will grant you the land. And by this time, the Pioneers and the Tanana-Yukon Historical Society had added into this, the Pioneers insisted a Pioneer home for Fairbanks, because there was not one here at that time. There was no nursing home here. And the Pioneers felt that this was really important to have that as well. So they got the land grant, but the university had to be involved in the middle of it, and they were the ones who were going to make sure that everything got done as proposed, you know. They were going to be the police of the whole project.
Why did that happen? Why do you think that happened?
I think that they wanted the university to, you know, I mean, the university had, they weren't going to be involved in the running of the park,
mm-hmm.
but they would control the funds and oversee the expending of the funds, rather than the Pioneers and the Tanana-Yukon Historical Society overseeing it themselves. So, you know, it's a check and balance.
It sounds like a siphon.
Well, it kind of is. But, you know, if you give directly give this.
A government entity had to be involved for accountability and transparency.
Yes. Yes.
And since the city of Fairbanks was hostile towards this, you couldn't give it to the city of Fairbanks.
That's right. That is absolutely right.
I'm just connecting dots for the listeners.
Yes. So you have a three-way partnership now in this park being built. It was, the ball really started to get rolling, and they didn't waste any time. You know, and pretty soon the Pioneers had, the men of Igloo 4, you know, they had connections for equipment and business and everything else. Because I think probably half the men in Fairbanks at that time belonged to Igloo Number 4 that weren't in the military.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they got going pretty fast, and they were able to break ground on what today is the Pioneer Park that we all know.
Yeah, you know, you had some incredible miners out there. You know, Walt Wigger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bobby Sheldon.
Yes. And our city was founded on mining. And
yeah.
That is the history of our city. And it was a mining community. Everybody regarded it as a mining community. It was, I mean, that was the number one industry here. It's the reason that Fairbanks is here. And the park was going to showcase our mining history.
Okay, we're gonna take a commercial break here, Joni. And when we come back, we'll get to it. And Fairbanks, you're listening to the first live broadcast at the radio stations of 2026. Someone had to show up, and it was me, Representative Mike Prox, and the wonderful, incredible Joni Skillbred, calling in from the populated location of Two Rivers, Alaska, at minus 45 below out there. We'll be back after the Police bumper music synchronicity, so we are messing with you today.
more Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
The FBI saying they stopped an alleged ISIS-inspired terror plot in North Carolina for New Year's Eve. Officials say they arrested an 18-year-old man who had plans to attack people inside a grocery store near Charlotte. Russ Ferguson's U.S. attorney for the Western District of North Carolina says the suspect is sharing photos of two hammers and a knife he was planning to use.
He was preparing for jihad, and innocent people were going to die. And we're very, very fortunate they did not.
Federal investigators probing alleged fraud schemes in Minnesota. DHS Public Affairs Assistant Secretary Trisha McLaughlin tells Fox she believes Minnesota Governor Tim Walz is either complicit in the scandal or trying to make it political.
Tim Walz was either complicit or completely buried his head in the sand. If he knew that there was crime and fraud this rampant...
Well, Governor Walz's office says the governor has been cracking down on fraudsters for years, and it's actually President Trump, the one politicizing the fraud issue. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
KTUU reports the state of Alaska has reached a settlement with Lithia Motors Incorporated after an investigation found some of the company's Alaska dealerships charged customer fees that were not included in advertised vehicle prices, Attorney General Stephen Cox announced on Monday. Under the settlement, Lithia will pay a $300,000 civil penalty, provide restitution to affected customers, and conduct regular audits of its advertising to ensure compliance with Alaska law, according to the Department of Law. There is no excuse for a dealership in Alaska to charge its customers dealer fees that aren't included in its advertised prices, Cox said in a statement. Not only is this explicitly illegal under Alaska law, but it is also fundamentally deceptive to advertise one price online and then charge a higher one at the dealership. The investigation by the Department of Law's Consumer Protection Unit focused on dealer fees, including document fees that must be included in a vehicle's advertised price under Alaska law. Consumers who bought vehicles during those periods must email documentation to the Department of Law and Lithia.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Every day now at the Great Alaska Pizza Company in Fairbanks and North Pole, buy medium pepperoni or cheese pizzas for just $7 each when you buy two. The best pizza deal ever, every day. Carry out only.
The Great Alaska Pizza Company.
Only in Alaska do we need insurance for all four seasons. We're dodging moose in the winter, potholes in the spring, wildfires in the summer, and in the fall, well, the snow comes back just to remind us who's boss. And let's be honest, Alaskans, we have the winter rig, the summer truck, the snow machine, the boat, the four-wheeler, and something on tracks just in case. So why insure them all separately? Bundle your home, auto, and all your toys with the Loa Carroll Hubbard Agency. One call, one bundle, way less chaos. And yes, you could save big. Call the Loa Carroll Hubbard Agency today before the next season shows up early. Again.
If you're a shooter, you know that the one thing you always need more of is ammo. But with today's prices, you feel like you have to take out a second mortgage just to stay proficient. Well, not anymore, thanks to 907ammo.com. 907ammo.com is your locally owned and operated outlet for a wide variety of calibers at a great price. And if you live on the road system, delivered right to your door. Go to 907ammo.com right now and put it in the cart, pull the trigger, and see it on your doorstep in just a couple of days. 907ammo.com, the Last Frontier's online ammo delivered.
The Find Out Free Pregnancy Center provides free, confidential pregnancy tests to any woman in need. But they offer so much more to women, men, and families. By participating in one-on-one parenting classes selected by you, you can take advantage of Earn While You Learn, earning valuable credit to spend on children's items and clothing in Maria's Boutique. The Find Out Free Pregnancy Center. Call 907-455-8255 or visit online findoutfree.com. Findoutfree.com.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. It's a brisk Friday out there. Just me and Mike in the studio here. We had an engineer pop his head in here, so he shut the door in case he didn't want his noise of him, you know, making sure nothing broke at 60 below. And it's interesting, I had to inform the powers that be yesterday that TED FM was off the air. I had people calling me up. Yes, I had to do that.
You had to do
the
that.
One contractor, independent contractor, who works at 45 below when everyone else is off. Oh. Now, Joni, I've got something for you. I would like you to do a report on the history of the riverboat Nenana, after how it got to into the park, and especially on how they converted into a restaurant up there.
Oh, yes, the sandbar.
Yeah, could you do that?
I could.
Because I'm showing Mike Prox how it's done. Right, Mike?
Yes, and it was a good move. Yes, you do such good work. Your historical research and everything is really
I connect dots.
Really valuable.
I connect dots.
Yep.
Anyway, Joni.
Well, so the park, they broke ground and they were moving ahead, and one of the things that had to happen is an organization had to be formed. It's going to be the organization that's responsible for the work to be done in the park, for the dirt to be moved, for foundations to be set up, for buildings to be moved in there, for these to build these attractions that they wanted to have in the park. And that became articles of incorporation for Pioneer Memorial Park, Inc.
And so officially, boom, right there, incorporated as Pioneers Memorial Park, Inc.
Inc. Yes.
And that's how it started.
It was approved by the state of Alaska. I mean, that's a state of Alaska thing.
Wow.
That Pioneer Memorial Park, Inc. is still in existence today. I served on the board, and that's the board that operates the Pioneer Museum. It is still there today. And that board, those board members are comprised of members of the two Pioneer Igloos here in Fairbanks, the men's igloo and the women's igloo. They each appoint board members, and Tanana-Yukon Historical Society also appoints board members for that board, and they're responsible for operating the museum today in the park. And they are also responsible for a lot of the historic displays that you see within the park. It is Pioneer Memorial Park. Now, when you look in newspaper articles, it is called Pioneer Park in the early days. And so I want to read to you what the state, now this is what the state, this is what the articles of incorporation say in this newspaper article. The purpose articles give official twofold reason for the objects and purposes of the park. They are to advocate, promote, and acquire necessary lands for the creation, construction, development, and improvement of a pioneer park for public recreational use and activities. The other main purpose is to discover, procure, and preserve whatever may relate to the natural, civil, literary, and ecclesiastical history of the United States in general and to the state of Alaska in particular, and to establish and maintain collections of any and all items incidental to the pioneering and development of the state of Alaska.
Wowza. That puts it in very clear perspective right there.
Yeah.
Yes. That is what it was formed for. That's on file with the state of Alaska. That's when the state said, okay, you can build the park, and here's, you know, we're going to approve this organization to do that. So they get this going, and, I mean, the public was really, really excited about it. And the first three things that were donated for Pioneer Park.
Fairbanks, listen carefully to this. This is incredible.
Were locomotive number one, which came to Fairbanks in 1905, which operates on special run days.
So that was donated to the Pioneers?
Yes.
Okay, what was number two donated?
Locomotive number one, the riverboat Nenana.
That was donated to the Pioneers.
It was donated to Pioneer Memorial Park, Inc.
Yeah, okay.
And then the third item was the Harding car.
So the three grand items of Pioneer Park today
at that park today
were donated to the Pioneer Memorial Park Corporation.
They were the first three things of their collections that were donated, yes. So then, of course, you know, other stuff starts getting donated. The NC Company had a warehouse or a basement. Boy, I can't remember which one it was, but they had all this stuff, unsold merchandise, that this is where merchandise goes to die at the end of the line. From going way back, remember Samson Hardware had a similar situation.
Yeah.
And so they cleaned out their shelves of this old antiquated merchandise, and that is on display in the Pioneer Museum today.
And then the urban renewal by the Alaska Territorial, you know, I forget his name who told me about it. He worked on it, and that was the 50s. I mean, that was from First Avenue to 8th Avenue, and it was from Barnett to Cushman. And they're supposed to do First Avenue to 8th Avenue, Cushman to Noble Street. But after doing that first section over 8 years, they had no heart to do that again because of the disruption to pioneers and miners of what it was causing. They had no heart to do that again, so they stopped it. They didn't do phase two.
Right. And
so, you know, there's some things that good happen with government when they realize something's going wrong, and that was one of them.
Yes, and there was a lot of public pressure from the Tanana Yukon Historical Society and the pioneers to stop this and give us time. And so they ended up getting the buildings in there. When you look at the original plans for the park, you know, the plans have evolved. The original plans for the park had a transportation and communications museum. It had a museum with an auditorium. It had a history of mining area. It also had a general park area and a picnic area, a zoo, a boat basin. And then it kind of evolved as they started doing the work. But then, now this, all of this started in 1962, 63, but the centennial was coming up. And the state of Alaska decided to focus the centennial celebration here in Fairbanks. And an organization was formed, the A67 Committee, and they leased the park from Pioneer Memorial Park, Inc. And they took over the building of the park and the operations, and they had this huge influx of money that came in the form of grants, and the whole plan for the park changed because they had that big boost of cash. So that's where you got the Civic Center. That's where you got the
barrel building.
That
was built by Ed Caraway, Fairbanks Constructors. Yeah.
Yes. So
who lived in Westgate?
Yes, it gave the money to get those cabins for Gold Rush Town moved into the park and set up. A lot of the original stuff that the pioneers and the Tanana Yukon Historical Society had envisioned for this park is still there today.
Yeah.
In fact, most of what they envisioned is there today, and a lot of the other stuff is gone. But so the cabins got moved in. They built off of that original plan. So the mining valley is there. That's over by the Salmon Bank. The riverboat is on display. The locomotive was just over by the playground. Kids used to climb on it. But
yeah, they had the Huey helicopter in there. They had a tank in there. They had the big helicopter. You know, the banana helicopter in there. They had a zoo in there, you know, but it started out with the mining town with that waterfall that's always been there.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to take a commercial break. you're hearing some exceptional history.
Yes, we are.
In the city of Fairbanks here, and we'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Get a grip on winter with Bridgestone Blizzak studless snow tires. Make the switch. Buy your set of GCR tires and service. You'll drive in confidence with positive acceleration, controlled turning and braking on snow and ice. Experience how Blizzak studless snow tires have revolutionized winter driving forever. You will fear no icy street nor snowy highway. Get a grip. You will love your Bridgestone Blizzak snow tires. GCR Tires and Service, the Tire Guys, Taming the Alaskan Road, Van Horn at Cushman.
This holiday season, something incredible happened in the Golden Heart community. Thanks to you, our amazing listeners, local businesses, and our generous sponsors, the Pump Up the Kids Adopt-A-Family program was a tremendous success. We came together to lift up struggling families, filling wish lists, easing burdens, and bringing a little extra magic to homes that needed it most. And to our sponsor, members of the Napa Auto Care Group, like Expressway Auto, Metropolitan Garage, Ken's Fairbanks Alignment, and University Chevron. Thank you isn't big enough. Your kindness, your support, and your heart made this season brighter for so many of our neighbors. Because of you, families across our community will feel hope, warmth, and joy this holiday season. So from all of us and from every family touched by your generosity, thank you, members of the Napa Auto Care Group, like Expressway Auto, Metropolitan Garage, Ken's Fairbanks Alignment, and University Chevron. Together, we pumped up the kids and lifted the whole community.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m., Behind the Mission with United Way at 11:30, followed by Sensible Health Solutions with White Spruce Medical at noon, Compo's Outdoor Show at 12:30, Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m., Alaska Tracks at 1:30, The Drive with Glacier Garage at 2 p.m., followed by Building Alaska with Jen Solar. All 4 hours of local shows can be found on the KFAR website in the archives section. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio.
Weather brought to you by CNR Pipe. Weather in Alaska can change fast, but you can always count on CNR Pipe, Alaska's largest metal supplier. Proud to support the last frontier.
KFAR Weather.
High temperatures reach up to 35 below today under mainly clear skies. North winds around 5 miles an hour. Mainly clear tonight. Lows dip down to about 48 below. Highs level off around 35 below. Tomorrow, lots of sunshine. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. And I've got a prediction. I'm going to predict that tonight there's going to be a lot of people taking their photo in front of the famed Alaska University of Alaska entrance time and temperature.
Yeah.
And then if you ain't got 45 degrees or colder,
can I add to that a certain percentage of them will have hardly anything on?
Ooh, well, duh. and my you know, I've done it at 52 below.
Boots
and if you're not a member of the 50 below club, you're this not a Fairbankson.
Yes.
Anyway, as you were saying,
So moving on with this, A67, that was the Centennial Committee, they took over the park, and they added to the park's original plan, and the A67 Centennial Celebration started out as being, you know, really appreciating our local history and Alaska's history as well, and they really wanted to showcase it. But they hired a promotional company who came in to promote the celebration, and they turned it into a sideshow. And Rusty Herlein wrote one of the longest letters to the editor I've ever seen in the paper, and he was very disgusted with all of it. And they pulled a lot of stuff out of Hollywood movies, and they had these Billy the Kid shootouts, and they had bums running around, and it really misrepresented Fairbanks and Alaska. It took it right out of some B-Western, you know, and Rusty was very disgusted That all came to a screeching halt when the flood
hit
in
August
of 1967.
Yeah.
And the damage to the park was great. Now, the Centennial Committee, the A67 group that leased the park, went bankrupt. And now you have this flooded, damaged park. The Pioneer Memorial Park, Inc. did not have the resources to repair the damage or deal with it. It was just going to be a blighted mess. And the state stepped in, and the state said, okay, you know, they said to the city of Fairbanks, if you take it over, we'll give you $1.5 million to, you know, get it back in shape. And with that, also, you're going to call it Alaska Land. So the city accepted the money, got the grant money, of course, of $1.5 million in, you know, I think it was like the next year that happened. That's a lot of money.
So this came down from the state of Alaska on the name. That's how it was renamed.
Yes. Well, they said that that the proposed name was Alaska Land.
Who proposed that name? Where did that name come from?
We don't know.
Okay.
I don't know who proposed it, but it came. That was the first mention of it being called Alaska Land was in the newspaper article about that the state would offer the city $1.5 million to rehabilitate it, and that, you know, it was known as A67, but that the park's name would be changed to Alaska Land. So it was called Alaska Land. And, you know, Alaska Land fit that carnival theme based on A67 because of the crazy promotions that they had, you know, the shootouts, the carnival mentality. They had
like, sort of like Disneyland. Yeah, they wanted to make a little Disneyland.
Sure.
Or Knott's Berry Farm or whatever it was.
Yeah, and I remember there used to be, it was probably Golden Wheel Amusements, you know, they used to have amusement park rides there. Mm-hmm. I remember riding them as a kid.
Oh, yeah, they had the Scrambler, they had the Octopus, they had the Tilt-A-Whirl, they had the Ferris Wheel. Oh, yeah. Oh, the scary one was the airplanes. That was scary.
So fast forward, it's Alaska Land, it's called that, and the park starts declining. You know, the amusement rides are out, the zoo is out, they had the, what else is missing out of the park? They had the Native Village mm-hmm. and the Native community abandoned running that. A lot of the stuff is still there from that, but it's not.
They had the Gold Dome and the they had the Silver Dome and the Gold Dome. One of the domes was gone.
Yes, the Gold Dome is going to also probably be gone because of the, you know, that building was never put up to last.
All the military equipment those kids used to play on is gone.
Yes. So the park has changed and it's gone. Now today it's more representative of what it was originally built to be.
Yeah.
The Gold Rush Town is there. The locomotive, old number one, is restored. And
yeah, the mining
valley.
Yeah.
The, you know, the air museum, which is being moved out of the park now, sadly.
So when did they decide to change the name back to Pioneer Park? Let's go to that.
Well, it was decided in 2001. The park was really declining, and attendance was down, and the borough had taken over the park by this time, and they hired a consulting firm, and the consulting firm said, you have a problem with your name. It sounds like a carnival or like Disneyland, and you go in there, and it's nothing like that. It's more a historical representation of your community's history. And the original name was Pioneer Park, and so it was put up before the North Star Borough Assembly, to change it back to Pioneer Park. And the one who voted against it was Victoria Foote, saying she wanted a more multicultural sounding name. And at that time, the Newsminer did an online poll, and there were a lot of people who were resistant to changing the name, and I think it's just because people in general are resistant to any kind of change.
Yeah, it's a name they grew up with. But here's the thing about it. Here's the thing about it. It's now been 25 years of Pioneer Park.
Yes.
And so you have a whole generation now. You have a whole generation of people who grew up with Pioneer Park.
The name accurately represents what's in the park.
Yeah.
And I also, you know, the Pioneer Museum has been in operation for years. And, you know, it's run by Pioneer Memorial Park, Inc. And, you know, all of this is expensive to do. When they voted to change the name, this was taking the advice of this consulting company to up the image of the park, to increase traffic in the park, mostly with tourists. You know, we are heavily dependent on tourism here, and it is an important tourist attraction. So how much you think it was that the assembly had to pay for the renaming of the park and a new sign for the park?
I hate to ask.
$294,000. So now, fast forward to today. If the park's name is changed, it's going to be expensive. It also, the other thing that people have to remember is, when you do these name changes, it's not just changing the placard on the front of the park. It's all your business documents. And then you have the vendors in the park, and they're advertising. They've paid for advertising in the form of brochures, boxes of brochures, and all of that has to be changed. So your vendors are going to be affected by this also. And so, you know, if you're going to change the name, if you're going to support that, you need to understand that.
Okay. We got about a minute and a half left there.
Well, I would like to say that I'm a very proud member of the Pioneers of Alaska who created the park. It's a jewel in our community. And, you know, the Pioneers are still active, and we're still doing a lot of work. We have an open museum and archive for our town's history, and we continue to build on that, and we continue to maintain and build outdoor displays within the park as well.
And Representative Prox, what do you think?
I am impressed.
Man of a few words.
Thank you. Yes.
Thank you, Joni, for doing all of the research and such, and you present a pretty good argument.
Thank you.
We showed up in 69 and, kind of went through the decline, the resurrection, but not the original history of it, and you make a good point.
Mike, thank you very much. Joni, thank you very much for another wonderful presentation. And thank you both for carrying on the tradition of being live.
Yes.
Right. Here in Fairbanks.
Yes.
The first show of the year that's live, no tape, here in the studio. We're the only people in the building. Fairbanks, you have a great day, and I'll see you Monday when it's going to be a little bit warmer, and there'll be more people in the building. You take care. Have a great weekend.